Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
He can just pull that out at will, dude. It's crazy.
I do it in the car.
You practice
in the car and be like, "Oh yeah," by myself, because I'm like, "Damn, dude, I'm losing it. I'm losing it, man.
You're losing the touch.
I need to come back."
Yeah.
Not like it's not like, "Oh, I need to come back to reality." It's like, no, I need to get some fucking
further away.
I need
from
some
reality.
Fucking juice.
Just do that.
Back into our subjective world.
Just stop dropping that shit when you're doing your labs. I think that's the way to go.
No. That's what I mean. That's why it makes it necessary when you get some alone time.
If you hit the 18-year-olds with that, dude, they'll worship you as a god.
I think we need to give some context.
Nope. Welcome to the Ghost Podcast, episode 418. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
This is Ree.
How's it going, fellas? I think I'm actually losing my voice. What the fuck?
Oh, shit.
It's weird.
I'm good.
You should have a hot toddy.
Okay.
I don't think I've heard that in forever.
What is it? Is it like brandy and fucking honey and
something like that?
It's great how everyone just wants to get drunk.
Yeah, like, we just want more excuses to get fucked up earlier in the day. We never want to stop drinking. That's kind of the whole deal.
It's not going to work unless you put some fucking liquor in it.
Put some honey and some bourbon. That's the real secret ingredient.
That's what will soothe your throat. Fucking some corrosive alcohol. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, it's a painkiller. That's why. It's a natural painkiller. That makes sense.
Yeah. Just numb the...
Jorge.
Yeah.
We talked a lot on the pre-show. What's going on with you, though?
Not much. Well, I mean, there's a lot, but not much. My son had some surgery.
Oh, that's right.
And so we've been... the last 4 days, we haven't left the house. We've just been chilling.
How's he doing?
He's better now. Better now. He's back to his autistic, talkative self.
Surgery, you're talking about wisdom teeth.
Wisdom teeth.
Just so people aren't fucking worried. They don't think it...
That oh,
he
yeah.
He didn't get a heart transplant.
Well, that and also he reassigned his own gender.
Did he?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet. It's possible.
He'd be the one.
Of the two, he'd be the one.
Yeah. That's rad.
Let me backtrack that. Of the two, I think he cares the least about gender stuff.
So non-binary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah. That is kind of dope. Non-non-binary. Post-non-binary.
He's pre-non-binary. Because he doesn't even know what the fuck he's talking about yet.
No, but I mean, that's the next one.
Oh.
There's got to be some new shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like I'm non-binary because it's still like, well, no shit, right? Yeah. Like, so I'm post-non-binary.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
It's like punk rock became the thing, so you got to go post-punk. And now it keeps going.
Yeah, we've gone past post.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, yeah, but I've been, we haven't been doing much. Let's see. Ronnie and I, we are still watching and still interested in Dark Matter. Still good.
God damn.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think it's either the last episode's coming up or the second to last episode. It's awesome. I like it. I really like it. I restarted, I'm sure you guys, this is not for y'all, but I restarted this show on, I think it was on Showtime, called Spartacus.
Oh, I've heard about that.
This was like riding
blood and dust or something.
It's like riding on the coattails of like 300.
So it was like, yeah, so 300 comes out. And then Showtime is like, you know what we should do?
Blood and sex.
It's like Blood and Sand is the first season. And the next one is like, they name each season something different. Dude, I forgot how bad the show is. Like they do all the same bullshit slow-mo.
Blood everywhere. Blood. Yeah.
Like the guy will like bump his arm into a wall and it's like.
Yeah.
Just blood everywhere. But I look, dude, it's stupid as shit and I kind of enjoy it, but it's dumb.
Yeah.
It's hella dumb.
That dude died too.
He had like pancreatic cancer or something.
Yeah,
they had
like a whole documentary about it. It's like, Jesus.
Spartacus, they crucified him, man. That's what happened.
Yeah, I'm
Kirk Douglas. Yeah. Kirk motherfucking Douglas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just doing the thing.
Stanley Kubrick directed Spartacus, and Tony Curtis wanted to fuck Spartacus. Mm. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. I've heard there's some deleted scenes or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a scene in Spartacus, too, where it's like, do you eat snails or... Or it basically is like, do you eat vaginas or cocks? And it's like, I eat both snails and the cock. It's basically like, you want to suck my dick?
You like pussy or you like fucking dicks?
Yeah. That was it.
It's original Challengers.
Yeah. Well, speaking of which, did we all watch Challengers?
I haven't yet. I haven't had a chance.
You said you watched it.
Did I?
Yeah. It's all right.
No, he said he was just giving shit about Sophia not liking Challengers as much.
That's why.
And we all assumed that you watched it and loved it.
Damn. Hell yeah. I did assume that.
I am very duplicitous.
I was like, this motherfucker watched Challengers.
I'll watch it then. No, it looks good. It looks good. I'll watch it.
What about you, Jacob?
You want me to go first? All right. Yeah. So I'll have to go backwards here. Last thing I watched recently, Inside Out 2, which is funny because me and you had a little chat about this whole Disney Pixar kind of having a weird, you know, just fucking this weird era right now of just kind of very mid fucking
it's bad
movies. Yeah, just not even mid, just bad.
Pixar
yeah.
got trashed. Star Wars got trashed. Marvel got trashed.
Yeah, it's just all just been very forgettable stuff.
Yeah.
And then here comes Inside Out 2, and then just out of nowhere, it was killed it. One of the highest grossing opening weekends this year so far.
It is the highest.
Yeah.
It's fucking, dude, it's the highest. It's the second highest animated opening ever,
mm-hmm.
which is like pre-COVID, post-COVID, ever.
That's impressive, yeah.
That's fucking good news.
Who was saying it? You were saying that like your friends that work in theater were like, This is stupid. I think it was shit.
One of the listeners online.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Drewy boy.
They weren't ready for it. Like this, the rushes and everything. And well, yeah, it's.
I would, somebody. Well, because less than ever can they predict.
Like, somebody mentioned like I don't remember seeing really much like follow up ads or pre like the pre cum.
Yeah. I just saw the announcement and then nothing, and then the movie's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 155 million. The last $100 million opening was Barbie.
That's incredible.
So it's like there's still hits, but it's not just every fucking other month.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. I mean these big hits like this.
Yeah. So I saw. I loved. I really enjoyed the first Inside Out. I thought it was charming. It was. I think it was a beautiful little movie and kind of just talking about all the emotions of and kind of like as a coming of age story. And this is definitely just expanding on it more. You
it's
know?
Like a coming of age story where they didn't need to like make an allegory to a period. Like, you know, without having to go that heavy-handed about
it. Hey, seeing red or whatever?
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay.
No, it's okay. It's no fucking Inside Out.
Yeah. Yeah, so Inside Out, too, you could chime in here, too, because you saw it, too.
Not skeptical. I was worried that it wasn't Pete Docter directing and writing. You know, he did the first Inside Out. He did Up. Yeah. He did Monsters, Inc.,
him and is it Andrew Stanton? There's like the two big guys in Pixar. Yeah.
Andrew Stanton, yeah, he's responsible for finding Nemo.
Mm-hmm.
Lassiter was more Toy Story.
Yeah, Lassiter's the other one. It's like those three guys.
Cars, thanks for that.
not a fan
the
apparently.
Beginning of the end. But the one that sold the most merch, no shit, right?
Yeah,
but,
big time.
Well, yeah, and that makes sense, right? Yeah. But
Inside Out, it's a typical sequel, just expands more on the fucking more emotions, and now instead of it being like, you know, like an 8-year-old girl, it's a 13-year-old going through puberty. And dude, no, that fucking movie had me busting up laughing in theaters. I saw a 10 p.m. showing, mostly adults. People were having a fun time. I thought there were great, you know, it's one of those perfectly balanced. So you got jokes for, you know, older crowds, and then you got the cute shit where the kids.
Yeah, it
you
feels
know.
Like an old, I don't want to say old school, but like it's been a minute since a fucking Pixar movie hit like this.
Yeah.
Both, not just opening weekend box office wise, but as far as the quality and the universal appeal of it.
Yeah.
You get, I mean, people clapped at the end and people cheered at the end.
Did they clap cheeks though?
They probably clapped cheeks mercilessly at the later on, just like P. Diddy clapped fucking Meek Mill's cleeps. Oh. He mercilessly.
His cleeps?
He's like, oh.
I'll never listen to that audio ever
that
again.
That shit's fucking terrifying, dude. That's like,
wow.
When Matt used to talk about, I want to watch something that feels like I shouldn't be seeing. Like, fuck that guy committing suicide, like on the news thing.
But Dwyer?
Just listen to fucking P. Diddy fucking this dude's ass. Look it up. It's on Reddit. It's good stuff.
TikTok, there's like 10,000 reaction videos.
It's so fucking wrong. It's like, not it, that make that your alarm clock, you know?
You'll never be more disgusted. Although you'll probably Pavlov yourself into enjoying it and then be like, well, now I got to jack off to this.
If you do it enough. That's the thing of Baby Reindeer. Like, it's the thing. It's about exposure. Once your central nervous system has that association, you're fucked. It's tough. Anyway, I digress.
No.
Inside Out 2 is fucking, I really like both. I think what they pull off in this movie, in both movies, is amazing because everyone has a psyche, mm-hmm. but no one knows what it looks like.
Yeah.
So it's a very, like, that's a challenge.
No, the way they navigate it and all the shit that happens inside the you know, like, I loved Osmosis Jones. That was like me as a kid watching that.
Weird.
I thought that was...
We don't need any of that.
Yeah.
Do they have a horny little fella?
No, but they have, like, there's some really good choices, like the Deep Dark Secret, and then there's these other things that are escaping from, it's repressed stuff.
Yeah.
And then that one's like, not yet. Like, I'm going back in here. So we don't know her deep, dark secret, you know, and stuff like that.
So she's not horny yet.
Yeah, it might have been like her deep, dark secret. She's 13, so chances are, it's not just that she's horny. Chances are she's masturbating.
Yeah, the new...
Right? I'm just saying. Well, fucking, come on, man.
I'm not disagreeing with you.
That's why you go see Inside Out, too, to ponder these things.
The new emotions are anxiety, boredom, embarrassment, and fucking, I think that was it.
Ennui.
Envy. Yeah.
No, but ennui.
Ennui is a good one.
Yeah. Oh. And he's French. And he's I don't care. But which it is a good one. And then otherwise known
for
as.
I am le tired.
Yeah. Otherwise known as. Yeah. It is what you call the boredom. Yeah, indifference. Because it's a great fucking tool. But then, yeah, like sarcasm. Oh,
you like Tool, dude?
I like, dude, Tool has Tool. Tool in New Mexico. New Mexico is the most Tool place ever, dude. No, but what they did with anxiety. Like, there's that scene with anxiety and joy in this competition for her mental projections.
Her intention.
For her mental projections.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like the idea of joy, anything unpleasant, as usual, joy is trying to shove to the back of the fucking mind. Like, this is not going to become part of the core. Meanwhile, anxiety is like the response to all the shit she tried to like avoid.
Yeah. It's like subconsciously teaching a lot of these kids some pretty heavy shit.
Absolutely.
And it's doing it effectively and beautifully too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was impressed with that.
The animation was fucking bonkers. Like the textures.
Yeah. It was like the shaders, just like the lighting and everything. It's the Pixar is fucking crazy, man, with their shit.
Yeah.
I also checked out Hitman, the new Richard Linklater rom-com, I guess you would call it. Yeah, I guess it's a rom-com. I really dug it. I'm a big Richard Linklater fan. I love a lot of his hangout movies, kind of like the quote-unquote mumblecore shit, you know. All of his talkies. I love, you know, the Before trilogy. It's one of my all-time favorites. And love Dazed and Confused. So before Hitman, or after Hitman, I rewatched some more of his movies. Just two. Rewatched Everybody Wants Some, which is actually my number one favorite Linklater movie. It's a hangout. It's a spiritual sequel to Days of Confused. So instead of high schoolers, I think in the 70s, it's college freshmen, and I think in the early 80s or late 70s. And I love that movie. I like the supernaturalistic dialogue. Linklater has like this very extensive, very strict rehearsal thing he does with all of his actors. That's why all of his shit sounds like it's improv, but it's not. It's just really heavily rehearsed. And that's all of his films have that type of dialogue. And Hitman had it. And you know, all of his movies going back to his first film, it's kind of, I like his writing style a lot. I also rewatched for like the nth time Scanner Darkly.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's, you know, a lot of people consider that to be one of the greatest Philip K. Dick adaptations that really nailed down that kind of dystopian weirdness.
It's definitely the greatest Alex Jones role in film history.
He's in The Scanner Darkly. He's in Waking Life. And yeah. I'm just like, fuck, dude. That was actually, I realized going back, like, that was the first time. I remember Paul telling me, you see that guy shouting on the megaphone in Waking Life? This is a guy named Alex Jones.
That's around the same time where the CIA let him go to Bohemian Grove and film it and then say that he snuck in.
Yep. Fuck. That's the start of it.
That's the start of it.
Yeah.
And he's been doing the work ever since to discredit any questioning of any narrative that's official. Because if you do that, now you're like Alex Jones, which it's a good fucking idea to do.
Yeah.
But now he's got people believing frogs are gay.
I mean, some frogs are gay.
He's partially correct, yeah.
There's no gay frog. I'm just kidding. This birds aren't real thing. Did you know that was engineered by a dude as a social experiment?
It's not a Reddit. It's a subreddit.
That's fucking crazy. No, but there's a TED talk of the guy who came up with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know it was a fucking dude who did it as a social experiment. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's fucking crazy. That's worth watching the TED talk. I just saw it the other day. Anyway, go on, man.
Yeah, just watch some Linklater stuff. So I recommend Hitman. Glenn Powell, he's kind of fucking... This is weird Glenn Powell renaissance going on. He's
blowing up. It's not a renaissance. This is his moment.
This is his moment.
Yeah.
Yes. You're right. Yeah, you're not a renaissance. It's a moment. Yeah. This is it, man.
Who the fuck is he?
A lot of people are like that. And it was weird because that's what made me go back to Everybody Wants Some, because I was like, that's when I first saw him, 2015. And then I didn't see him in shit until Top Gun Maverick like 4 years later.
He brings a kind of like... I'm white and better than other people vibe to the party. Yeah, but other people don't really like.
He's actually good. And I think people
good.
And he's disarming because of his looks. But he's like fucking highly intelligent. You got the writing credit in Hitman.
What are you saying? He looks dumb, bro?
Yeah.
Usually. You know who's dumb? Keanu Reeves. That guy's fucking... No, I'm just kidding. No one can talk shit about Keanu Reeves. Yeah. Adrian Brody's a fucking idiot. Go on.
Sorry. No, that was it. And then I saw one movie. I finally saw it. It's because probably I don't think it's even in theaters anymore. It must have been one of the last weekends. I saw the TV Glow.
Oh,
you've been waiting to talk about it. So this will be the last one I mentioned, so you can segue into your talk.
God damn, I got to fucking reformat real quick. Go back to that. Yeah, tell me, what do you think?
Wow, that's I feel like it gave me the same feeling. It's a very different movie.
He hated it.
It reminded me of like when I was in my early teen years watching like Donnie Darko for the first time.
Oh.
And it's fucking like where it just goes right over your head kind of until you really got to fucking sit on it. But yeah, this movie affects different people, you know, at various degrees, you know. It's like I wouldn't say I'm the target audience for it, but holy shit, I really appreciated everything about it. It taps into a lot about gender identity and talking about kind of like losing yourself into nostalgic, you know, like old like TV shows. The show, The Pink Opaque, that's the center of this movie that these characters are obsessed with. It's a kind of a reference to Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and hearing how Buffy was like helped so many, a whole generation of people like that are closeted kind of come out. And that was kind of a working point in the script.
It's also the name of an album by the Cocteau Twins.
Mm.
Which is a fucking dope ass shoegaze, early shoegaze type stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the director, they're putting a lot of their own, the personal stuff they like, that also lines up with the style and the vibe and the aesthetic decisions.
Yeah.
And the feels of the movie. Yeah, Cocteau Twins is a great band, honestly. Fuck
yeah. Yeah. This movie, it doesn't have a very conventional tone and pacing, but I was really just vibing, I guess, quote unquote, just vibing with the movie the entire time.
When you speak of the pacing, dude, the pacing was very languid, right?
Yeah.
And more slower than I even anticipated for an A24 type film. And then it got to the payoff stuff, and that's why a lot of the best surreal stuff, especially American surreal stuff, like, you know, obvious reference point, or like David Lynch.
Yeah.
Like when she's talking to the moon?
I think so. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You remember that part? Like, that part was just fucking nightmarish. Yeah.
And there's a whole monologue, too, towards the end, you know, in the third act. That's like, that I read about people, like, were just torn to pieces by. They loved the monologue. They were just...
The monologue was fantastic, unlike the monologue in A Violent Nature, where... Oh, wait, we're not talking about that yet.
This is the year of good monologues. No, not good, just monologues.
Yeah. But freaking, what'd you think of the, I mean, so you said it hits people different ways. When he goes to the, you know, it's a mild spoiler, I guess. When he goes to the bathroom at the end to relieve himself.
Yeah.
It's, and the light lets the light out.
It's like this hopefulness to it. Yeah.
Well, and that's him hiding. He can't be.
He's not comfortable.
He can't be himself.
Yeah.
So the whole metaphor that it's like, it, the whole thing about, is it the pink opaque or it's the world he's choosing to live in the fake world they gave him.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not a fucking science fiction thing. That's a that's real.
Yeah.
That's like fucking good surrealism. And the ending is absolutely fucking nightmarish because of that. Because it carries over to like the whole thing. So all this stuff where it's allegories for like homosexuality or trans or anyone who's like living a life where they can't be who and what they are.
Yeah.
Like it fucking, it's a great ending.
Yeah, it's very intentional, like the home life of these characters, where it takes place, because I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that type of home life.
Yeah.
And it took me a second to realize his fucking dad was that Fred Durst?
That's Fred Durst.
Yeah. He was kind of scary.
It took me till the credits to realize. I was like, wait a minute, what?
I was waiting for Fred Durst. I was like, wait, that was him the whole time. And he was kind of intimidating and scary.
Yeah. Yeah, I really, I don't know.
I'd rewatch it for sure.
It's one of my favorites of the year, probably.
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Yeah. I thought it was pretty fucking... By the time... it's one of those where the cumulative effect, meaning by the time you spend... It rewards your patience. I mean, will it reward everyone's patience? No. Some people are going to hate it.
Yeah, definitely.
It obviously. But once it got into the second hour of it, I was very, very affected by what it was doing, and then I thought that ending was very fucking powerful, honestly. Just wonderful, just very powerful.
Yeah. And I'm really not a fan of that actor, so it was cool to see him in a role like this.
I don't know if anyone is.
He's an interesting dude. Yeah. Whatever his fucking name is. Detective Pikachu kid.
Yeah.
Jurassic World kid.
Oh yeah, that fucking
Dungeons and Dragons
kid. You sent me that. Yeah. It wasn't a meme, but yeah. That's what the comment said. I guess this person's never seen Detective Pikachu.
Jesus Christ.
Because they were saying you're in for a shitty movie if you see this guy.
Damn.
That's what it said.
That's fucked.
Yeah. Anything else?
That's it for me.
Okay.
Franken.
You know, so let me just go through these rewatches. Sophia and I went on vacation. We went to New Mexico, and it was fucking great. It was gorgeous. I'm going to, it's a 12-hour drive, straight shot. The thing is, I didn't think all this through these logistics. Our check-in's 3 p.m., and it's a 12-hour drive. And, like, you know, and we wanted to avoid. So we left at, like, 2 a.m.
What the fuck?
But, dude, fucking, it was amazing. It wasn't a bit your face. And we had two little dogs with us, right? We got Gypsy, which is the new Chihuahua. By the way, she's not just a Chihuahua. She's a Chihuahua and a Yorkie mixed.
That's dope.
That's why she's so dope. It's called a Chorky, I guess. They put the ch with the york. Okay, and then they were fucking great. They slept the whole time in the car. We stopped every few hours, you know. Anyway. When we got to the cabin in New Mexico, the first movie we watched once we hooked everything up was Speed 2 Cruise Control. I talked about it on the pre-show. It's one of my favorite bad movies, and it was fucking hilarious. And I can't explain to you why we were in that mode, except that we left at like 2 a.m. and had driven nonstop and all this stuff and ate trash on the way. And it was just time. It was time to settle into the air conditioning.
Yeah,
and Speed 2 and laugh our ass off with the little dogs, and it was good. But yeah, we went to Carlsbad Caverns. For those who don't, it goes 800 feet below the ground. It's about a mile.
800 miles, dude.
Yeah, that's why I said that. Yeah, but then I correct myself. You're like, 800 miles? That would be like, you'd be in the core. And I was like, I'd be in space. That's almost verbatim what happened. Dude, 800 feet's like a mile and a half. Yeah. And then, like, this what? It is.
No, it's 800 feet is not a mile and a half. It's, like, maybe...
It's, like, down the street.
It's, like, an eighth of a mile, bro.
Okay. From the bottom of the hike to the top, it's 1.25 miles.
Okay.
Is
you're probably already really below sea level, and then you take the elevator 800 feet.
You guys aren't... You guys aren't listening.
How long was the elevator?
Oh, yeah. Never mind. No, but something's going on here. It goes a long fucking way. Yeah. It's probably... Oh, that makes sense, because it has to twist.
What, an elevator?
No, the height.
Oh.
The height twist. Oh, okay. Right? I'm because like, damn, it's not a straight line.
They got some crazy...
Fucking ass.
They got some crazy elevator technology over there.
It's fucking amazing, though, because you know, you're like, wow, it's a cave. And then you're like, whoa, this is fucking big. And then you're like, whoa, okay, we must be coming to the end. Nope. And then like an hour later, you get into a room where it's the size of 5 football fields. Not fucking kidding you. It's just fucking massive, which is wonderful.
Just random ass pockets in the Earth's crust.
There's a get one who knows exactly who knows what else is out there. Mm. The lizard people.
The outsiders down there, dude.
Underneath fucking...
I've played Minecraft.
Denver Airport. Dude, that shit's fucking... That's pretty crazy. But at dusk, 500,000 little bats come out. And there's this outside little amphitheater. It was fucking awesome. It was really cool.
Did they give you like a fucking... Like a poncho?
You didn't need a poncho. They don't come... They come out and then they go immediately over to the desert. Like they come out in a... Oh, and that was interesting too. Because like if you're trying to like go uphill, what do they call it? Like not, you're going from left to right, Jorge, switchback.
Oh, okay.
And it helps you gain traction. So the same way when they come out, they spiral out. It's the same principle because it gains momentum spiraling out. And I'm like...
You're like,
cool, dude.
You're trying not to fucking lose your mind, dude.
Yeah. You see Batman Begins,
it was so
dude.
Fucking cool. And this was I mean, we had slept the night before, but this was the first day we were there after we'd woken up there. And that was just fucking awesome, right? And then, dude, it was very Batman Begins. The thing, it's just, no pictures could do it justice. It's a lot fucking bigger than you would ever imagine. And that was cool in and of itself. Then the next day we went to Roswell. Roswell is about an hour and a half away. Roswell is fucking like, it's 80 miles from the actual crash site. And that whole town, dude, like it's like block after block of gift shops. And we went to the UFO.
Of course,
yeah, the UFO museum. And dude, like I fucking sent you guys that they do like a, it's like a motion simulator about what happened. And it's like, that's not what fucking happened.
And even if it did.
Yeah.
This isn't the way.
They had this research laboratory, or not laboratory, research room with all these books and all sorts of fucking different, you know, supernatural stuff and paranormal and parapsychology and alien stuff. They had this whole section where they talk about all the movies, like Independence Day, of course, The X-Files.
Communion
was like, I'm like, dude, this is fucking dope. Like, it's just great. And they're doing the best they can because New Mexico is a weird place. Like, it's a hodgepodge. Like they're throwing a lot at you in New Mexico.
Yeah,
was there a lot of other and it's tourists? Like low budget.
Yeah,
huh?
Was there other tourists there? Like a lot in that museum, for example?
Not a lot.
It's just pre-summer, so like not. Yeah. I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah, and it was hot. It was about 100 degrees, 105 some days, but it's dry. It's a dry heat.
Mm.
Oh, thankfully, I was able to find some good fucking Mexican food in Roswell from a taco truck.
Of course,
it was legit. Because the pictures
those
I sent
tacos you sent were fucking hideous, bro.
They're fucking veggie tacos from, you know, it's the worst shit I've ever seen. It had, listener, it had broccoli, lettuce, I had green chile because New Mexico. What else was in there?
I think that was it. It was like a green salad with broccoli.
It had tomato. It was like, that's fucking crazy. And it was, you couldn't even eat it as a taco. It was a salad in a taco.
Yeah.
And a shitty salad. Anyway, so I was happy to see this was not what New Mexico had to offer with food. Like, I went to another place. It was called Jalisco, Authentic Jalisco Mexican Food. We did it the last day we were there. It had a 4.5 star Yelp rating. That shit was fucking delicious.
You should have traversed into actual Mexico, bro.
Well, Juarez and El Paso are close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Juarez and El Paso were about 2 hours away. We drove through El Paso on the way in there. El Paso's a real fucking beautiful looking city.
You don't want to be going into Juarez, do they?
No, yeah. Sophia was worried about driving through El Paso, but once we got there, and then I was thinking about, you know,
Sicario, dude.
At the drive-in, yeah. Sicario, Mars Volta. I'm like, damn, they used to party here, bro. We wanted to go spend time in El Paso, but we we went out there to be in nature, so we spent most time in nature except for Roswell. And then I found the longitude and latitude of where the crash was. And I said, do you want to go check this out? And she's like, well, I think we should, which is fucking cool of Sophia, because I was like really like asking her to talk me out of it. But she's like, when are we going to be back here? I'm like, you know what? That's fucking true. Let's go out there. And then I'm learning all this stuff. That shit was off limits to the public for 71 years. It was open briefly in 2020, and then it became private property again. We got there as a private property sign, and I didn't know. I thought that, like, I had seen these pictures of a plaque. The plaque's been removed. All this shit's been removed. But we got within a mile of the crash site, which is still fucking cool as fuck. It was cool enough. And it was great. Then we found out, like, White Sands is nearby. So we're just, like, fucking, it's like a theme park, dude. And to get to White Sands, it's a three-hour drive. So we're in a desert. And then an hour and a half later, we're in Lincoln National Forest, which was fucking gorgeous, in this place, this town called Cloudcroft, which is a skiing place, like, in the winter. And then it, like, opens up to this expanse, and it's the fucking gypsum salt, fucking the White Sands thing, National Park. And that was fucking amazing. And it's weird because it's, like, 10 or 15 feet high dunes. And when you walk on them, it doesn't give like sand because it's so densely packed together. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like it doesn't, you don't sink in as much. So that was cool. And then the next day we went to, on the way in, we'd seen, when it straddles the line of Texas, the Guadalupe Mountains. Because we kind of got this itch now. We hit like three national parks unexpectedly while we were there because they were right next to each other. So we want to go to all the national parks, which is fucking dope. But, dude, we did this fucking... I found a hike called the Devil's Hall.
Dope.
It was dope, and I'd seen the pictures, and, like, freaking the erosion. You're walking through this whole expansive area, and then you get down into a wash. And you're it said that there was some... not rock climbing. What's it called? Rock scrambling. So you have to go over boulders. For a mile, we're fucking climbing over boulders. And then, like, it was fucking... It was cool, but it was 105 degrees. but then like as soon as we started doing it, like, there was cloud cover and a bunch of wind came in, and it was fucking cool, but no one was out there. Then there's this rustling above us, and a bunch of fucking rocks came down, and it was rams. There was rams up there looking at us, which was fucking cool. And then we got to the end, and this thing is unreal, dude. I gotta show you the pictures, man. Like, fucking the erosion has just carved a fucking, like, what looks like a hallway in the rock. And it just looks like fucking, you know those man-made structures where it's made to look like random stones put together? This was the real thing. And it was really, that was like one of my favorite parts of the whole deal. But it was great, man.
There you go.
It was a great trip.
And you got us some souvenirs.
Yeah, I did.
I got a sticker and you got a
coin.
A coin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's from Roswell and it says, ask me about my butthole.
Yeah.
Thank you.
With a spaceship.
Yes.
Of course.
Because everyone's big on the probing. Other rewatches, Falling Down.
Great movie.
Fucking, oh, shit was dope. True Lies. The shit was fun.
Mm-hmm.
We watched Whatever Happened to Baby Jane. Have you ever heard of this movie?
I know. I've never seen it.
It's fucking crazy. I'd never seen it. She'd never seen it. She was more than happy to watch it because drag queens love it. Betty Davis. The shit's fucking insane for an early 60s movie. Very dark. And then we got in that kind of mode. We watched Sunset Boulevard, which is late 50s. That movie's fucking insane. It's one of David Lynch's favorite movies, and for good reason when you watch it.
Yeah.
Great movie. When we got back, we watched Challengers. Finally saw Challengers.
Woo!
What did you think of? You like Challengers?
I loved it, man. It's the Euro trash, I guess. Trashiness to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the performances and his direction. Like, I fucking loved it. But it's a great example to me of the... This could easily, the script's not bad, but it could easily just be like a fucking kind of middling drama if it wasn't so well directed and acted.
It could have swung the other way. That's why I was saying, like, little weird elements like the score enhances the movie.
Sophia hated it. Not hated the movie. She hated the techno music during the dialogue. Yeah. And I was like, that was fucking dope.
That's crazy.
But, you know, I'm glad though, because she doesn't like fucking lie. You know what I mean? And then she was not big on... the camera movements at the end. I'm like, yeah, but he didn't do it the whole time. And she's like, it was like ambulance. It was like Michael Bay doing a tennis scene. And I was like, no, it wasn't. Like,
I mean, you do become the tennis ball.
At one part, you become the tennis ball. But it's like earned. And you're like, fuck yeah. It has so much to say about like vitality and sex and control.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
it's all there.
Yeah. And Zendaya, wait, she's 1,000 times better in this movie than Dune Part 2.
Yeah, it's insane.
She fucking owns this movie. Yeah. Both those actors were great. What else did I watch? I fucking had my list here. I started Los Espookies.
Mm-hmm.
We're really liking that guy.
For some of his work.
For most of it. I finally watched The Nightingale.
Oh, you're telling me about that, yeah.
And you haven't seen it, and you didn't see it?
I own the movie for years, and I haven't gotten around to watching it.
It is fucking absolutely devastating, I'll go ahead and say. It yeah. sits at like a 7 out of 10 on IMDb, which is pretty high for a movie like that. It's the writer-director of Jorge's favorite film, The Babadook. Mm-hmm.
Hate it.
Takes place during the British colonial ventures in Australia. During like the Old West time period, and what they do to women and the Aborigines is not good, and they pull no fucking punches. It does like what 12 Years a Slave did for slavery, like, hey, we need to get this right. Like, it's like we've seen rape and stuff. Like, no. Have you seen like an Aborigine woman like get kidnapped by some white dudes, just get raped repeatedly for like weeks at a time? Mm-hmm. It's fucked.
Yeah.
And the movie is fucking extremely well done, and it's essential fucking viewing because it's just like it makes you fucking sick.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's a great movie. Did you guys see Dumb Money?
No. But he's been, that dude's back in the news again.
Though. Yeah, I did see this movie about the GameStop stock, right? Yeah. With what's his name? Paul Dano. Yeah.
I saw it on Netflix. It was a nice little watch. It was fun. Nothing so hugely.
Yeah, I'm like just this side of over the
whole deal.
The meme documentary movie.
Yeah,
just a little bit. Like with BlackBerry, I was like, all right, you did it.
BlackBerry Air.
Is it Adam McKay? Because it feels very Adam McKay.
It's Adam McKay light.
Oh, okay.
But it's that doesn't mean it's bad. The thing is with this one, the script's fine, the actors are good. I think the direction could have been better. Mm. You needed someone like fucking Danny Boyle. Danny Boyle would light this shit on fire.
Get it tighter.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck tighter. He'd make it tighter and fire.
It's a little loosey goosey. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah. Some weird decisions during things where it didn't pop like it should have. But I think that's good enough. For Christ's sake.
Christ.
Yeah, started a biology class today, played with some fucking snails. Oh, I finally got to play some video games. I played Super Mario Wonder like a little 4-year-old. And I beat it because it's fucking easy as fuck.
Yeah.
There's a lot to complete on it, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
All right.
Cool. Hi, Sophia.
So we'll be right back. Talk about a movie.
Do we have any new Patreon?
No.
Oh, take that out.
We can do it.
We can do it.
We can do it.
Are you ready to do it?
I think so.
Are you ready to do the Patreon pitch?
No.
We're back!
Okay.
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere podcast. Join the Patreon.
That's it.
Thank you.
That's all you got to do. So the Who Goes Their Podcast watched a little film called In a Violent Nature. 2024 is In a Violent Nature. Written and directed by Chris Nash, starring Rye Barrett as Johnny, Andrea Pavlovic as Chris, Cameron Love as Colt, Reese Presley as The Ranger, Liam Leone as Troy, Charlotte Cregan as Aurora, and a couple other folks.
Fuck these people. No, just kidding. I don't know this, you know. What did that review say? Unique and gruesome.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I mean, it is those. It's unique.
It's
is it though?
It's unique. I got nothing.
Uniquely.
It's get
G with a G word. No, I'm just kidding. Look, I might be somewhat. More in the middle here. I don't know. I don't even know what you think of it. You've done a good job.
I was very quiet this entire time.
I could not be quiet about this one. So yeah. Look, this had a lot of hype coming out of the festival circuit. And I guess I know this may sound strange, rightfully so. Why am I saying that? Because it's the fucking festival circuit. It's a low budget film. It's a lo-fi low budget film. And the conceit of it is to have the Jorge loves this shit. Ambient slasher, right? We're going to change the perspective. We're gonna, instead of like spending it's not the time thing. Instead of the perspective being from the victims, it's from the killer. And so yeah, this whole idea that this is gonna shift like it's kind of like this art house approach, this cinema verite approach to a slasher. So I was prepared for this to go either way. Anytime people are in this movie, it's not good. And it's populated by people. So it's not good. So seriously, the word here, I don't like using this word because I think it's pretentious to use it, but the word is pretentious. I think the movie's very pretentious.
Yes.
Like, yeah. This is what the word is for. Like, oh, he's walking and it's so different. And then you walk and it's like, cool, are you gonna pay off with this? And you hear some dumbass shit. Some fucking retarded dialogue that's just as bad as any slasher movie, if not worse.
Oh, that's the point, though, dude.
No, well, dude, that's your. I'm doing your thing, and it never gets. It's like, well, give it a moment. Like, no, the first guy gets killed. His death, and we don't see him get killed, but he has some real bad acting, and I'm just. This campfire scene, it gets to the campfire scene, which I get. It's like, this is a trope, dude. This is a trope of slashers, the campfire, dude. It fucking lasts like
20 minutes.
It's 10 minutes.
I'm sorry.
The camera roving around, them saying just really insipid. It's not just what they're saying. None of it sounds natural.
It's how they're saying it.
Yeah, it does not sound natural. It does not sound lived in. It does not sound like real fucking people. It doesn't. And it's not like, well, some people are dumb. Like, no, that doesn't sound natural. Like, fucking make them sound natural. Like, this movie would
be... Oh, dude, but you don't understand, dude. It's a takedown of the genre, dude. It's an homage. It's a...
Like, those things go together, too.
Well, it's a takedown homage.
You know what would be a really fucking good takedown is if it was good.
Yeah.
That would be like, that would be antithetical to the slasher genre as if it was good.
Yeah. It makes the slasher genre pretty intact.
It
I'm fine with Friday the 13th still.
Yeah. All of a sudden I'm like, you know what, man, dude, The Burning, that's dope.
Fuck yeah.
It's great. No, man, there was never a moment, and I've heard the, there was never a moment in this film where I was entertained. I have heard some things about like, oh, dude.
What?
It's fucking, people are like, it's fucking boring and they just don't get it. The boring, the stuff that's boring is the least offensive of this whole fucking joint.
It's the big swings that don't work.
So like, right? Okay. This dude managed to rent a camera from like some company. That allowed this thing...
Who knows how this happened?
...to look okay, right? Because this movie looks okay. The cinematography is fine. This director of photography is fine. He's doing some cool stuff with, like, a twirly camera around a campfire. And some of these, like, long shots of this idiot walking through the woods looks cool.
And but, it is different than what we've usually seen in slashers. Go on.
I will grant you that. It's different. Yeah. But
doesn't mean it's,
it yeah. doesn't mean anything.
No, because I'm just giving it credit where it's due.
Ultimately, there's zero payoff for any of it. And like it's like, oh well, dude, you just didn't fucking get it. It's like, bro, you could say that about anything then. If you could
say that about Primer, not in a violent nature.
If the whole wrap up is that like, well, if you didn't like it, you didn't get it. I'm pissed.
Yeah,
I'm fucking angry.
Well, no,
I guess not. Get it isn't the right word, but if you didn't fucking like jive with the fucking thing, it's like you weren't down with the takedown.
I'll get into specifics. Here's why I don't believe too. Like the whole you didn't get it. Like the unnaturalness of it, of the dialogue is. I don't believe it's intentional, and I'll get into specifics why, because it's not the only thing. The scenarios of how the kills happen are very poorly staged. And like, why doesn't she run to the left or the right? She can only run like forwards and backwards. Like, there's not fucking three. There's a cliff. She must turn around and look at him. She can't go to the left or the right.
She makes a face too, which is like unbelievable.
Like, what kind of, yeah, like,
She takes 5 seconds to accept her fate.
Yeah, she goes, oh, okay.
And I will say, though, there are two kills, one specifically, which will have a fucking... I mean, this is why it's a... I don't want to say a mixed bag. I don't think the movie succeeds what it's trying to do. That fucking kill is going to be hard to beat as far as, like, a gory kill, though. Obviously, for this year. For most years. Mm-hmm. It's one of the gorier kills I've seen. It is somewhat inventive. But not some... I mean, I'll give credit to that kill. Also, what I liked is there's zero CGI. Like, the practical gore was convincing.
You know what I could say?
What?
Some CGI would have been welcome.
Well, that's why, like, when they did The Queen of Black Magic, which is obviously a much better movie, like, I just wish there was all practical in the remake of Queen of Black Magic.
Yeah, all the bugs and shit. Yeah.
Yeah, like, if that movie had this fucking movie's practical effects, like, fuck, dude. Mm-hmm. You know? Anyway, sorry. Go, Jacob.
I mean, I gotta give credit where credit's due, and that's the marketing team. I'm guilty of already giving into the hype, but I mean, this movie looks so impressive, especially on paper. The pitch I'm sure they had getting picked up by IFC Midnight. It's this movie. I'm like Chris Stuckman, you know how hard it is for a movie to be released in theaters, you know, but it's
Madam Web in a Violent Nature. Yeah,
this movie,
same film,
should not have been released in theater. No, it's I'm glad it did because, you know, triple dosing on my usual intake of edibles what made the movie bearable, you know, because I probably would have been fucking miserable watching it. But I was vibing with it. For most of it, with the caveat of being two of the longest, not even exposition dumps, just like dialogue sequences I've ever seen, the campfire, and I'm sure we'll get to the ending. It's like fucking Tarantino on Tubi. Like, it's just like abysmal.
The thing that the thing that got me the most in terms of like filmmaking prowess and the lack thereof is I don't understand this soundscape that Homeboy is trying to create. There's people 6,000 feet away that you can hear as if they're like in your own fucking right ear. And it drives me crazy because like these
cars, they're mic'd up. Yeah.
They're mic'd up clearly. And it's like, well, dude, it's because it's the fucking killer. He fucking hears everything. It's like, okay, dude, but like, then in that case, none of it fucking matters. Like, if all of it is fucking intentional, then none of it matters. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the just by changing the perspective, you know, you're not reinventing the genre, which I feel like was kind of like the narrative in promoting the movie, you know, that this is going to, quote unquote, reinvent the slasher genre. At least that's how I had it in my head, just seeing all the hype, the posters, a really iconic looking slasher villain that is just fucking very out there. It just stands out among all the other slashers. And, you know, and I appreciate the concept as a whole. Like, on paper, it looks fucking dope. But, you know, in the end, it really
Jorge is. Jorge hates the concept, too.
In the end,
I hate it all.
It really is a slasher we've all seen before. It's just from a different perspective and shot differently. It's really, it doesn't change anything.
Can we truthfully say that this is a film that's shot from a different perspective as any other slasher movie?
No.
Because if I'm not mistaken, we've seen this thing where you watch a fucking killer plod through a forest.
No, we don't.
An infinity of times.
What was new to me, and I'm not saying it's good, it's video gamey in that, like, it's filling, it's like it's an open world game.
Yeah.
Where you're seeing the boring parts in between. But that's what I mean. A lot of slasher movies, including ones fucking you listeners think are good, spend fucking 30 minutes doing nothing gory or slashery except having fucking idiots talking.
Yeah,
because they gotta fill the time like a porn. Like it's the same thing as pornography. Like, well, you know, before Pornhub, because now it's who fucking has time? Who watches a porno now? Like, where does anyone watch porn now where they talk and like do this stuff?
Well, if it's
I'm sure they do. If it's
like a
step,
if it's like a stepmom thing, yes.
I don't fuck with that.
Just kidding.
The sound is not even like until people start fucking
there's cheeks clapping.
Until there's clapping and squishy stuff and moaning, like I'm not interested in anything.
So you're saying you wish that they would just cut to the chase?
No, what the fuck am I saying? I'm saying that to answer Jorge's question, I think we have seen some of the stuff, but the parts in between, again, when we say perspective, it's not just like the over the shoulder third person camera thing. It's we're with them the whole time. Very rarely does it cut away to be with the people when the killer's not there.
I'll give you that.
We're on the perimeter of it.
Pero if that's gonna be the conceit of this film,
doesn't mean it's good.
Then do it the entire time.
Yeah, because like, they break away twice, and both times fucking suck.
Well, also look like it. Fucking dude, the ambient. This guy, the director, writer, director guy, he mentions fucking one of the movies I was talking about, Angst. And I can see that he liked Angst, mm-hmm. but in no way, like, are you getting it right? Look, because dude, like, fucking if this movie had either less dialogue or natural dialogue, most of its problems would be solved to me.
Yeah. That's one of my notes is like, this, you know, when we watch slashers, you know, the typical like 80s slasher head would be like, yeah, I don't give a shit about the dialogue. I want to see kills and all that. This is like the one time where I'm like, I wish they had a legit screenwriter attached to this because it would have helped because their job is to organically weave a narrative. And this movie, it's really just pause and play. It's just action and movement. And then it stops. And then we get like just the most boring ass sequences of dialogue. And then it resumes.
Let me think of something like Under the Skin though, right? Like fucking dude, weave a narrative. I don't need a narrative weaved. I need an experience. Like,
yeah.
So do something. It doesn't give me the experience or the narrative. So, but dude, if this was Jonathan Glazer's fucking In a Violent Nature, like it's okay. It could be done.
Yeah.
But just don't fucking make me angry anytime someone's talking.
The fucking campfire sequence is obviously what we're referencing a lot of. It's
it's every line.
But it's crazy how unnecessary it was because we've all seen enough slashers, which this is obviously in reference to like The Burning or Friday the 13th, to really put two and two together. There was literally no reason for that campfire sequence. Like you see a necklace, a guy takes it, he rises from his grave and wants the necklace back. Like we don't need any other context.
Well, I didn't even need people talking. Oh, and then they good point. So that's the opening shot, like, wow, this is going to be real restrained and detached.
Yeah.
Nope. Because then they come back and they're going to tell you what you just saw. That's how I know this. That's not intentional. Like if that is intentional, bad idea. But then okay, the staging for these kills, like the one we talked about it briefly. When fucking he goes to find Yoga Girl, mm-hmm. which by the way he just finds her, like because it's a fucking forest and easy to find people, like whatever. But and I know what she said she's gonna go. She didn't say exactly. Anyway, she's doing fucking yoga and she sees him and screams and then turns around and runs and just finds out she was on a cliff because she didn't know that when she put the fucking yoga mat there. Yes. And I'm not like, oh, you're being overcritical. No, this should be immersive. It should be immersive. And if you're going to be ambient, play down the dialogue, play up the sounds of nature, make it immersive, make it believable, make it feel visceral and natural.
Make it at least a little bit intelligent because you're saying they're making goofy ass mistakes on a film that is about like being grounded.
Yeah, you got one fucking job, dude. Yeah, just keep it grounded. Like make this make sense when she turns around. Like she didn't know she was there. That's why she went there.
Yeah.
And then she doesn't, the left or the right don't exist. She's a two-dimensional fucking like pong ball. Mm-hmm. Like she can't go left or right. And then like you said, she just sits there and then it has this gory ass fucking kill where I can't even just he puts the hook in her head. And then yanks the fucking chain so her head goes.
I thought it was so fucking dope though, dude.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And it's like such a shame that you staged it such a fucking stupid way because you leave me in a position where I'm giving props to the fucking kill mm-hmm. and the gore. And why does everything else have to be so fucking dumb?
Yeah, no, it's a total bummer, man.
You mentioned that there's no CGI in this movie, and I counter with one scene in particular.
Uh-oh.
That fucking photo frame thing, dude.
Oh, yeah, that took me out of it.
Holy shit, bro.
That was dope. They really found, like, some sort of, like, plot hole in their script, and, like, we gotta fill it in somewhere.
It was, like, the mom, right? It was because it ended up being, like, you found out that it was the mom's necklace that he's going after.
Yeah.
And so it was, like, not in my life, not in how I want it. And it's, like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah, when they're writing the script, they're, like, oh, fuck, we forgot to... You know, it begs the question, why does he want the necklace? I'm like, oh, we got to throw that in somewhere. Like, why he wants it?
It would be far better if we had no idea why he wants the necklace. He just wants the fucking necklace, bro. Like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Let the audience fill it all in, man. Yeah. And it's crazy to think that 75% of this movie was reshot. They filmed, like, all the four-week principal photography. And then they're like, oh, the camera's too close to the guy. We threw in a dog and all these, like, what do they call it? Like, filmmaking sins. Like, don't ever use fire or water or kids or dogs in your movies. It'll make the whole production hell. And if you're an indie filmmaker, it's going to be impossible to maneuver and navigate around that shit. And he includes water and fire. And I guess he incorporated heavily in the script a dog. And that was a huge mistake. So he refilmed the whole movie without it. And at one point, there was like six different actors playing Johnny, the killer. And he noticed, like, oh, everybody was walking differently. Nothing was consistent. And I'm like, how the fuck did you not
see all this? What do you know?
It's just why I'm like, this movie.
That's what I mean. That's inept. That's not like, oh, this is intentional. You don't get it. Like, bullshit.
No, yeah. The guy was like, yeah, I made some mistakes. I had to refilm and ask my best friends, who are the producers, to give me money to reshoot the entire film, basically.
That's the thing. I'm not just trying to be a dick, too.
Well, I am.
It's not just inept. Like, it's not just like, oh, can you do better? No, but it's fucking lazy.
It's like, so fucking lazy.
So fucking lazy. Yeah, like the Michael Keaton thing that fucking the Reaper uses. So fucking lazy. Like, it is. Like, you I get it. You went and did the movie. Cool. Like, I don't know your fucking life. I don't know how you did it, okay? Well, you did it. But you're fucking lazy, man. Well, you didn't think about people walking different?
I guess,
like, have you ever watched a fucking movie?
I guess laziness isn't... I almost think it's like...
Autism?
It's aggressively incorrect. It's not that it's lazy. It's like...
He's impaired. He's like when he takes the mask off. That's him.
I think when the producers were like, yo, this got picked up by IFC Midnight, it's coming to theaters, he's like, oh, fuck, wait, what? Like, he was probably like, oh, this shit ain't ready for theaters. Like, this is just like, I was just fucking around. Like, he wanted to do all these movies, and he was like, you know, my budget, like, I could just shoot in a forest, so I got to make a whole story around a forest. And that's just what he did. He was very nonchalant. He even said, like, you know, it's not the best work, but, you know, it's honest work. That's what he said about the movie.
The director.
He's like, it's not the best work, but it's honest work. That's all he said. It's like, damn, dude.
Fuck. What do you think about, so Jorge, like, the conceit of a shot, not a shot, a sequence, where he's across the lake looking at the ladies on the dock.
Yeah.
And they have their little lesbian.
And you flirting. Can hear them perfectly the entire time.
It's good. That's right. That's great. And again, which takes you out of the naturalism ambience immediately.
Right.
Right. Right, and then the it's kind of like, oh, is this for real? Like, it's got this coldness and detachment. It's like, no, dude, this is cheesy as fuck. Like, it's actually really cheesy, and yeah. I had to, like, catch up with how cheesy it was.
I mean, somebody said on the Discord, it's like, it's one of those things where it's like the you wanna slash it with just kills. Here it is, and it's like, well, no, because they've included an infinity of other stuff that doesn't add anything to this experience to me.
It has just as much bullshit talking as a regular slasher.
It's 50% slasher and 50% garbage dialogue. Like, if the point is to do the fucking, I'm gonna say it. If it's gonna be subverting the trope, then you gotta subvert the whole thing. Or otherwise, yeah. it's just like a shitty movie with a third person camera.
That's what it is.
That's
two fucking really gory kills.
And it's a shame that it's like, though, it had to be that good, and then everything else around it kind of weakens it.
maybe three really good or really gory kills.
Yeah,
and the dude taking a shit, but also have him taking a shit.
I appreciate those kills. I feel like we should get into like
at least, will.
You know, how appreciative we are of just fucking just unfiltered
Jorge's
fucking.
Yeah, I know. Here, well, I'll get into this.
I it's been a while since I've seen like kills like that really savored. I'm
sorry,
on
what?
Huh? It's been a while.
I gotta say, but it's been a while.
It's been a while. I like how that much they savored it, dude. I like that. Obviously, you got the cliff girl, but really, I love the log splitting kill and how I like how drawn out it was. I like the tension of breaking the dude's spine, dragging him around, and kind of seeing the inevitable.
Go linear. You remember before the log splitting, the setup where he's on the ground.
Yeah,
that shit. I almost left. That's what I'm talking about. Like, dude, they're like, they get close to, it's like, have you ever, you don't get close, you have a gun. Like, why are you going right next to, you have a fucking gun. Yeah. Also, why didn't you shoot him like 10, 15 times? Why don't you shoot him in the head? Like, if you're concerned.
It wasn't in the budget.
Well, it's just really dumb. And it's like, well, what would you do? I wouldn't draw that scene out. Don't draw that part of it out. Okay. Like, don't make it. He's trying to make suspense, and he can't. And he fills it with bad setup. Like, it's like, chain his legs. And then, like, and if, sure enough, he gets fucking attacked because he's right next to him. Which is like, do you get what I'm saying?
I get what.
That's fucking annoying, dude. Like, I can't stand, even in good movies, when they do that sometimes, I'm like, why the fuck would they do that like that? Because it's not like, well, that's how it is in a movie. Like, no, it's not. Not every fucking movie, not every horror movie makes dumbass scenes like that.
Yeah.
Not every slasher does scenes like that. Like, some of them do. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The log splitting, though. Yeah, I looked at Sophia, and she's like, when is this scene going to end? I'm like, I fucking think that's dope. That was like, ding, ding, they got a winner here, because this shit's just going on and on.
I mean,
and
yeah, I dug it's, it. The build-up, the dude's paralyzed, and I really fucking enjoy
he's seeing it. What's happening, but can't feel it, which is like, oh, that's a horrific kind of...
It's kind of like horrific, it's shot in like the stationary, just kind of like one-shot take, and it kind of reminded me... And I know you're not buying it,
impressed.
And you probably won't even like what I say next, but like it reminded me like when you witness like some of the kills that like S. Craig Zahler pulls off. It's a stationary shot.
It was very Zahler-y.
I like how he does his kills on screen. It kind of felt similar to that.
Cause it's kind of like in Bone Tomahawk, which Jorge loves, when he fucking
it's
splits
good,
the dude.
It's not a good day for me.
When they split the dude, it's not like music's telling you how to feel, and it's not like sensationalized. It's just like
matter of fact.
Let's show you this. Mm-hmm. So the matter of factness of it, I'm fine. I
vibe with some of it. Like I don't mind some of the walking around, but like then you got editing issues where you're like, this might be where the reshoots happen. You're like, oh, it's beautiful, like one shot, I'm walking through the forest, but then there's like rap.
Do you think
there's
the film has editing issues, Jorge?
That's at least if it's problems, right?
It's all the film is editing issues.
Yeah, I thought that would be like it almost feels like this like, oh, it'd be crazy if the whole movie was just one shot of him walking around, like, but then when you add the edits, it already throws you out of like the gimmick of it, you
that
know?
Might have been interesting. That might have been interesting if it was just a single shot, or at least as close to a single shot as it could have been.
I agree. And you could have done it.
Yeah.
I mean, like even the revolving around the thing, I'm like, oh, is this like one shot? No, it just cuts around the campfire.
It cuts a lot. Times. And so it's like, what's the point of this?
What's the point of just going in circles in the same direction the whole time if you're going to add cuts? It's.
Yeah. If you came up with a scenario where it was in real time over an hour and a half single shot, then you'd be on to something.
Mm-hmm. Well, but
that's way too much technical execution.
I guess they're really.
But if something like One Cut of the Dead could kind of pull some shit off like that,
absolutely. No, someone could, not him.
Yeah. The frustrating thing is that like so the question about Jason Voorhees is if he and Michael Myers also is are they supernatural, right? Like that's the question. Is
but that's a big yes.
Well, yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's what I'm kind of getting at, right? So like if if the whole point of this film is to kind of be like, well, we're going to show you what it's like on the flip side of this. Like, dude, like maybe give me a little bit of that like teleporty stuff that that is so endemic to the genre, where it's like, why, how could he possibly get over there in 2 seconds and fucking kill two lesbians on a dock?
You got an interesting idea. Your idea is like, if it's supernatural from his perspective, maybe throw in some other supernatural tropes.
I mean, because the whole deal
like a found footage supernatural.
The whole deal behind these, like, you know, these asymmetrical horror games where you're playing the killer.
This guy was tapped out with walking though, so let's, you know.
Yeah, so like with a game like Dead by Daylight, where you kind of are living in those shoes. Like, give us some more of that. If that's what you're trying to get at, is if like, well, we're unsure if it's supernatural or not. But obviously it is, because he came out of the ground because of a fucking necklace. So there's some supernatural shit going on here. Like, give me some of that instead of the fucking garbage ass dialogue that we had for 30 minutes of this piece of shit.
Damn. Yeah.
Speaking of. Well, no, go ahead.
You say garbage ass dialogue. You're gonna talk about the end?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because this movie, you're like, okay, we're getting towards the end. Let's get the payoff, and then you receive our final girl, and she gets picked up.
I don't get it, dude. It's subverting expectations, yeah. Dude. Oh, well, I'll come.
No, back. You should take over, because it's honestly, maybe it was the edibles. Maybe it was just because the scene was like, I felt like a half hour. I was struggling to make sense of what the fuck was going on, dude, in this car ride, yeah, man.
I think it might have got you then.
Yeah, it's, I don't, fucking, dude, it was a lot of yapping, bro.
You got subverted so hard, you fucking went sober, bro. Yeah.
So, the conceit, the idea of this is, the final girl scenario, they're going to come back and get the final girl at the end. You're going to get the random stranger that comes to pick them up, and it's either Texas Chainsaw or they take them back to the thing.
Or it's like Pamela Voorhees.
Or she's going to, like, we need to pull over and blah, 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 and they're going to pop out. So all of the stuff, the tension, the idea is to generate tension from all of the tropes you're used to, from predictability, and then not having it happen. Right?
Yeah.
Which I'm fucking down with. And they suck all of the fucking air out of the room by having this bitch talk for 5 minutes straight.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, okay, I know what they're doing, because I'm like, oh, this is the chick. She's actually involved with it, you know? She's related to Johnny or something.
Yeah.
But then she just keeps talking. And then she just keeps talking.
And she says some puzzling shit. Like, this lady just got out of the forest and is clearly traumatized and injured, and she brings up some like fucking horrifically disturbing story.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, sorry. Which again, doesn't make sense. And she says it, the way she's delivering the lines doesn't sound natural, doesn't sound believable, doesn't sound realistic. Mm-hmm. So at no point am I on board with the scene.
Yeah.
Cause you, I think you have the idea of something, and what we mentioned on the front end about like, all of those things you're waiting for to happen and they don't.
Yeah.
And then she stares into the forest. Like, dude, I'm going to say something. I don't want to piss you off, Jorge. When she stares into the forest.
You saw him.
No, but that's like, that scene would work. It would work if we didn't have the 5 minutes of bullshit dialogue.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I get what they're going for here. And also, it's the idea of, are they there? Are they there? Are they there? So it's playing on an instinctual fear. Right? But, like, fucking dude, you ruined it.
Yeah, because I was on board initially. I was like, okay. And then I'm like, oh, maybe that wasn't the point of the scene. Is this just random dialogue? Like, what's happening, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the dialogue, too, is like, you're waiting for her to give the big reveal, you know? But, yeah, that shit was, and that's the end of the movie. Yeah. By that point, I was already massively, I don't want to say disappointed, but just like, come on, man. You got these two great kills.
Yeah.
And you got, like, some of this stuff, as Jorge mentioned, when he's walking around, like, the lo-fi fucking goodness of some of the stuff in the orange sky. Some great shots of nature.
The crunchy, you know, Foley, you know, sound design.
I'm cool with that. Like, when people were talking about ASMR, making fun of it like that, that would have been, the making fun of version would have been better than this. Because it wasn't ASMR-y enough.
Yeah, I wish it was more. I was chilling with that stuff. I felt like it was like, I have so many criticisms, and I would love to say that I would like to watch it again, but in reality I wouldn't because of those huge, huge setbacks with those scenes. That would be cool
if he grabbed like a boom mic and he was like,
oh yeah, you like when I chop him up.
You like those crunchy leaves.
That would have been dope.
That would have been fucking dope.
I'm gonna kill you now.
Well, actually,
what he's doing there. But so Jorge loves it.
Yeah,
I'm more favorable towards it than you two. But I wouldn't watch it again. I think it has some like not as much. I really wanted this to be like the ultimate like novelty experience, you know. And of course, it's really it's a lot more of an indie.
It's novel and it's badness.
That one kill went harder and more creative than I anticipated, though.
Yeah.
Like that's why it's very, it's like that that one did.
Mm-hmm.
Again, the setup's stupid. All the stuff around it's stupid, but it was just like, I'm also, again, that's very good practical and effects in an era where that shit's fucking like a lost art.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
It's how I feel with Terrifier. I love the villain and the kills, but I don't care about the movie
around Terrifier that. 2 is way fucking better than this movie.
And I,
wow,
and
don't I, like Terrifier.
And I don't, and I didn't want to admit that. Yeah, yeah. And I'm even working on my own, I was working on my own fan edit, trying to, and I did, I successfully, semi-successfully cut down 140-minute movie to 86 minutes long. And then I went online and looked up a fan edit, like, internet database, right?
Yeah.
And there's already people who have made the same exact cut that I did with all the same bullshit cut out. And I feel like In a Violent Nature totally needs that type of cut and treatment too, because there's a couple scenes. I mean, honestly, like I said, you can remove the car ride at the end maybe, but definitely the campfire scene, and it would already make a huge difference. Yeah.
Absolutely. Easily. The car ride and just the campfire would make a huge difference. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because those are like, what I remember most about this movie is those two kills and those two scenes of dialogue.
Yeah.
So that's what you got me remembering about your movie. Not good. Good.
Yeah.
Right? Because like the fucking two... Yeah, absolutely. Right next to each other. Like, I want to reveal the true feelings here. If you had to, on a star rating, out of 5, how many would you give this?
Out of 5? Two and a half.
See?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
And that's probably higher than you. That's higher than both of you, right? Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, I was one and a half. Yeah.
One and a half.
Yeah. I was bummed out. I mean, I would gladly watch.
Sophia's a half star for what it's
worth. Yeah.
If you want like an ASMR nature hike movie, like fucking go see Sasquatch Sunset, you know.
Yeah. Freaking I do want to watch that. Jorge doesn't want
stinky to trash.
Ari Aster, dude. He's a producer, dude.
See, I figure as long as I keep just hating everything that comes out, like I at least anticipating hating it,
yeah.
Then when I'm pleasantly surprised, I'll be like, oh, dude, that shit fucks, dude.
You can never be disappointed that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Be like, oh, dude, the 20 minutes fucking, yeah, dude, hit me up, bro.
Well, yeah, at no point were you getting late giving into the hype about this.
No, dude. At
no fucking
that first trailer. That first trailer, I'm fucking like, oh, this kill is dumb as shit.
I was ready for you to be wrong too. Moving I was like, on. Yeah, he's about to be really impressed.
Do we like his mask though?
No, man.
they changed sucks. It too. They said it actually looked really dumb before. And oh, they had to redo it.
I want to see that better. I want to see the more dumb one.
Also, do we like that he walks around? Because it would be really, it's practical to walk around the woods in that outfit.
By himself.
By yourself.
Yeah.
When it's hot.
Well, he doesn't care because he's a fucking ghost.
Yeah. What did you think of, you texted about the face reveal.
Stupid, dude. Come on. Come on, man.
Yeah, that was unfortunate to me. Like, I don't need that.
Don't reveal it.
And also, like, you're already close enough to Jason Voorhees. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
And it's also, again, it takes me out of the whole perspective thing. So it's like I'm in his perspective and now I'm looking at his face.
For a long time.
Like, yeah, what are we doing? So meth is not good.
He had a real Star Flowers moment in this movie when he's looking at that little car.
This sounds dumb, but like I do want there to be a sequel because I think this guy I want this dude to have a redo. 2.5 stars. I want this guy to have like a redo just with everything he's learned, you know? I feel like he did learn a lot from this movie.
this last minute or so, I thought you were talking about the killer. Like, you're like, I wanted to have a redo because I feel like he's learned a lot. I read a few reviews were saying that, like, that he shows promise with certain ideas. That's what I mean. Like, there's a genesis of an idea in that ending where you're expecting all this stuff and not doing it.
Yeah.
And then, like, the stillness and the rustling of leaves, and it's just what he almost got there without that dialogue is, like, you know how, like, fucking M. Night Shyamalan wanted to make fucking the rustling of trees and plants scary in The Happening, and it's fucking laughable.
Yeah.
He almost got there, like, for me. I will give it that, because I could see the idea of what he's going for, because it's that, like, the presence and the absence thing, right?
Yeah.
Which is dope. But fuck, man. He needs to, these people needed to not talk. Yeah. I don't know. He's got to figure that whole fucking talking part out.
Yeah, there's constant missteps, man. And that's unfortunate.
Well, dude, could we do better, bro?
Honestly,
I think I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter. We don't need to answer that. Whether we could do better or not doesn't mean the movie's better. But I think we could make those talking scenes better than that. I think if I was there,
I would have removed him.
Even if I was just there for that day.
Just there to be like, no.
Yeah. Like, hey, this whole fucking campfire scene, take it out. Why?
Take him out.
We need it. You don't need it. You don't need any of it.
No, but we need to like give context to what.
Nope.
I don't care.
In fact, by the way, here's the thing. What's missing from this? What's the trope that's missing from this for a slasher?
Fucking.
So here's your context. He's looking in the windows and they're fucking and doing drugs. That's it. Do that. Mm-hmm. I'm immersed. You got me. You're talking to the lizard brain now.
There's moments where, yeah, I mean, I know you don't like...
have the necklace on while they're fucking, and then he's pissed off about fucking, that. And then boom.
Easy.
Yeah. The whole plot could have been explained just through eavesdropping. You know, I know you didn't like the sound design, how it was executed, but that approach where everything's kind of done off camera would have been great. But then it's done on camera and you're like, okay, well... Shit, there goes that whole, you know,
the approach. Scene, yeah, the scene where the dude was going to go meet up with the girls from the gas station, that felt like The Fucking Room, dude. Like, like this fucking scene is not working right now.
Just a couple dudes on the porch just talking, and you're like, what is happening, dude?
And then they start saying something, like over and over
because
again.
Because ostensibly he's just going to go take a shit, right?
Yeah.
But his friends are making fun of him because he's going to go fuck. And it's like, why would you?
Is this funny? Like, that's what I'm saying.
It's like, let him go fuck.
It's really puzzling. It's like aliens wrote the screenplay. Like, fucking, like, they're like, oh, this is what people do. Like, it's like, is this written by people? Like, fucking. But yeah, it'll be, what's it going to be on soon? Is it going to be on, what's it going to be on?
Is it, it's IFC Midnight, not Shudder, so I'm not sure which platform it'll be streaming on.
Yeah.
But it's probably be streaming soon.
Yeah. For most horror aficionados, it's definitely a film to see, though, and weigh in on yourself, obviously. Yeah. You know, we had one listener or Discord. I don't think he listens to the show, but he's definitely on our Discord. He says it was his favorite film of the year. And before that, his favorite film was Civil War. So I'm ready, dude.
I mean, honestly, but like, if you really enjoyed the kills that much, I mean, there's nothing wrong with being like a total gore hound, and if that shit makes it worth it, then fuck yeah, more power to you.
Even Mateo Dingus Dongus,
what'd he think of it?
What I said on here, I said to him concisely in a paragraph in Instagram because he asked what I thought, and he's like, I pretty much said the same thing. Anytime they fucking open their mouth, and he's all, and no tits, of course. But his only gripe, it wasn't like that was his only gripe. Like, He doesn't mind the idea.
Yeah.
Neither do I. But the two good kills were, of course, fucking those are two good kills.
Yeah.
Well, arguably three. What do we want to do next? The coffee table?
I'm so down.
You heard about this one?
Nope. I don't even want to know about it. Just let me watch it.
If you go in blind, that's the greatest way to experience it, because I did.
And it'll be what? Coffee table and then long legs and then...
Maxine.
Maxine?
Yeah, we're it's getting there. We're lined up pretty good now. We waded through the bullshit. We're getting to the goods. That's what I'm gonna believe. After a magic... And you guys got to watch Night Swim. I got to tell you. I think it's on Peacock still.
Dude, there's a horror movie that Courtney showed me a trailer to. It's in theaters right now called Latency.
Oh, I saw it. And I watched it because you sent it.
It's like a video game horror movie, like VR video game horror movie, dude.
Wow.
It looks fucking so bad.
But it looks super bland. It's like you have that premise and it looks fucking boring.
Yeah.
You're all, yeah. It's not like Brain Scan or something, you know?
No.
Mm-hmm.
That's classic WGT right there.
Yeah. That's got a dog in it. Like this movie should have had.
Good. That's another thing. Sophia brought up. No one has a fucking dog out there.
Well, because he cut it out during the reshoots. Well,
because you said no dog, no fire, no what? But like,
yeah, it was like it was too much. He realized he can't do it. Like he's just not there yet.
It was too much to have a dog. Yeah, I don't know if you really like want to be making movies, dude.
You know what? Maybe he needs to go the opposite of Raka Raka and go make YouTube videos instead.
Yeah. Go learn from the best.
Mm. All right, idiots. Well, that's the Gozer Podcast for episode 418. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
This is Reed.
Don't watch this movie.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be all right, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.